Did you get one? You got one? Yep. Okay. I'm just going to go after Pastor Lorraine. One second. I'm going to go after Lorraine. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Coming after Lorraine. The message is by the door. She's going to start in about a minute. I just want to make sure you're going to be in here. She went out there to get warm. All right. We have a guest speaker this afternoon. All the way from Raleigh, North Carolina. Miss Sue, come on. She's got a wonderful message for us. And so she's got off today, right? Yeah. So we welcome her here to the healing rooms. She's got a good teaching for us.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, normally I'm working, but I had today off, so I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to share today. And, of course, I argued with him. Said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know who I would talk to. And then the Lord opened the door for me. And so thank you. So I just want to pray a minute. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to step out in faith. I want to share your heart today. I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit to speak through me. Thank you for being patient with me. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. So thank you for your smiling faces. Oh. You know, you go to a restaurant. Well, first of all, the name of this teaching is The Power of Blessing. You go to a restaurant, and I always ask the waiter or the waitress, what's good on the menu? Especially if you go to a new restaurant. What's good on the menu? And I'm trusting them to share with me what they think is the best thing. So I'm your waitress today. And I am saying, this what I'm going to share with you today is a good thing on the menu. Taste and see that the Lord is good on this. So I'm going to give you a little appetizer today. And I forgot my cell phone, so I was going to use that to time myself. Okay. Well, you know, you have special books sometimes and special teachings that you receive and you keep coming back to it. And this is one of those teachings for me. I keep coming back to it, or the Lord keeps calling me back to it. So I want to learn to walk in it all the time so he doesn't have to keep calling me back. But I want to tell you about two pastors. One pastor would drive by a palm reading place on a regular basis, and the other pastor drove by a strip club on a daily basis. And this was grieving to them, and so they decided that they thought it would be good if they spoke over those businesses as they drove by. And said, you know, may your doors close. May people not come to your business. You know, one pastor even said, may your business burn down. And so the Lord spoke to them in a very similar fashion. He said, why are you cursing the people that I created? And to the other pastor, he said, why are you cursing the people that I sent my son to die for? And they said, well, we thought we were doing the right thing. And the Lord says that, you know, I gave you 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will for any to perish. So the Lord says, you know, my word says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And so I want you to bless them. When you drive by, I want you to speak blessing over those people. You're not agreeing with the sin that takes place there, but I want you to bless the people that are involved. And so he started blessing them. They started blessing them. May you come to the knowledge of God. May you receive the revelation of Christ in your life. I speak peace over the people that come into that business. I speak peace and joy over the people that run that business. Well, and they both saw similar results. Again, within a short time, one business had a big for sale sign on it, and the other business was completely closed down. And so they said, what is this, reverse psychology? You know, I curse it and it thrives, and I bless it and it closes down. So God wants us to get on his side and speak what he speaks. He wants us to speak the language of heaven. So what is the language of heaven? Well, there's no sin, right? No sickness, no cursing, but love. God's speaking love. He's speaking blessings over his creation. When he created, he said at the end of it, it is good. And so that's how he sees his creation still. So actually, he asks us to make a prophetic declaration. You know, this is a prophetic church. He wants us to make prophetic declarations over situations and over people, to speak what he sees. The word tells us in Isaiah that God sees the end from the beginning. So he wants us to do that. He wants us to put on our eyeglasses of faith, or binoculars. Get out the binoculars of faith so you can see the end from the beginning and speak blessings over these situations. Another story is a woman was an office manager for a business, and she did not get along with her boss. Her boss didn't like her. She didn't like him. But she got a hold of this teaching, and so she decided, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to bless everybody in the business. She would go early, open up, go in early, and she'd go to each desk and speak blessing and peace over that person that was going to be working there that day. And she went into her boss's office and did the same, even though she didn't like him. And so a couple weeks later, he calls her into his office. And she thought, oh, great, I'm going to get fired. And she goes in, and he says to her, you know, we haven't gotten along, the two of us. But he said, I want to apologize to you, because I have been withholding raises from you. And so as a result, I want to give you your raises, and I want to make them retroactive. And so she said, this works. And I'm saying the same thing. You know, the children of Israel, they were destined to go into the promised land. That was their destiny. But because they complained, and they were blaming God, and I say they were actually cursing God. And so they got put on hold. And this woman, her raises got put on hold. And then when she started blessing, that freed things up, and she was able to receive the destiny of the raises that God had for her. And so I don't know about you, but I do not want my destiny to be on hold. And so So I'm going to tell you a couple personal stories here of my own in just a moment. But 1 Peter 3:8-9 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And this scripture really spoke to me, especially the part that says, you were called to this. And as I understand in this teaching that I received, the pastor that gave it, Kerry Kirkwood, he's a pastor out of Tyler, Texas. He said that this word called, you were called to this, is similar to the meaning of a person is called, they're given a name when they're born. Like, what are you going to call the baby? Well, that baby is given a name. Well, this is a name that is given to us. We are called to be blessers. And that really spoke to me. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'm listening. So we're to imitate our Heavenly Father. We're to imitate God. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. So how much more should we do that? And so we're to get on the same page as God. Don't report things the way they are. Anybody can do that, you know, but proclaim the way things ought to be. Make that prophetic declaration. It's kind of like a thermometer and a thermostat. You know, a thermometer reports the temperature. The thermostat can change the temperature. And so, do I want to be a thermometer or do I want to be a thermostat? You know. So when I heard these teachings, I said, okay, God, I want some of this. So how am I going to put it how am I going to work this in my life? Well, at the time, I had two young men that had moved in beside Duke and I, two young gay men. And they had this big black dog, and they barked all day long, and quite irritating. I didn't really know how to interact with them. They didn't seem to be very friendly, and I was kind of intimidated by the fact that they were gay and that they had this big, big, mean dog in their yard all the time that barked. And so God says, you know, start blessing them. So I started speaking blessing over them. You don't have to bless them to their face. You can, but, you know, I just spoke blessing over them, and I sent it over there to their house. And within a short time, I noticed when they were out in the yard, they started waving to me. Hi, good morning, how are you? I said, oh, hi. You know, I was taken back by that. They had not done that before. And then I noticed, you know, on garbage day, you take your garbage can out and set it on the curb. And I noticed somebody was taking my garbage can after the garbage truck had emptied it and carrying it back up to my house. And they set it on the other side of my house where it normally was supposed to be. Well, I found that it was these two guys. They were getting my garbage can off the street and putting it back where it belonged. I didn't ask them, but they were so kind to do that. And then the day that Duke and I were getting ready to move, of course, they saw us packing and stuff, and they came over and they said, you have been such a wonderful neighbor. We love you. We don't want you to leave. So I thought, oh, this really works. This blessing stuff really works. So another time I was working at a clinic, that had 10 doctors. It was a family clinic, 10 doctors. And so there was a constant inflow of patients. And I was a receptionist. I was a newbie. So they put me in receptionist number one. We had like three receptionists up front. And I was the first one they saw. And I sat beside, obviously, another gal, receptionist number two. And receptionist number two was not a fan of mine. She didn't, she wasn't very kind. And she wanted to let me know that she had seniority and that she was going to rule and reign in the receptionist area. Even though she was not my supervisor, but she would let me know, I've got control here. And she was, you know, downright mean to me at times, trying to get me in trouble. And so the Lord said, you know, I want you to bless her. And I said, I'm not going to bless her. She's mean. I don't like her. I don't want to have anything more to do with her than I have to. And, you know, how he gets into your heart, does that heart thing, you know, come on now. So I said, okay. So I started blessing her. And within, I don't know, a short time, she started being nice. Started being nice to me. And we became friends, somewhat. Anyways, it was much, much easier to work there. Actually, she had a reputation. Nobody in the clinic wanted to work with her. And the doctors didn't even like her. But it was hard to keep receptionists because of what other things that happened there. And but anyway, so good things happened because I was blessing her. Also, the patients I was telling you about, they would come in and stand in line and get irritated because they had to stand in line. I had to ask for their insurance cards and ask them to fill out paperwork. Well, a lot of them didn't like it. They were already upset, and then having to fill out all this paperwork, and they started yelling. They would yell at me, or they would swear at me. And sometimes, one time, a patient threatened to hit me with a clipboard. And so, hence the reason why they couldn't keep any receptionists in that position. So I was bellyaching to a friend of mine that I had shared about the power of blessing with her. And she said, well, Sue, why don't you bless the patients? So, oh, novel idea. So instead of waiting for them to come and stand in front of me and offend me, I said, the Holy Spirit said, just start blessing them before they walk in the door. God knows who they are. So I said, okay, because I didn't know who was coming in that day, and I didn't know them anyway. So I started blessing them. I would speak the peace of God over them as they drive into the parking lot, and do not be anxious, and realize that the doctors have your best interests at heart, and may the joy of the Lord overtake you, and you go home safely to your families. And so before I know it, patients would come up, stand in front of me. They start smiling at me. They were complimenting me. They were joking with me. And then all the mean ones went over to receptionist number two. Right? So I'm saying this works. It really works. So reverse the curse. That's what we're to do. Reverse the curse. What is the heart of God on this matter? God calls those things that are not as though they are. You know, the prophetic declaration. And, you know, like I just confessed a few minutes ago, it's not always easy to do. Your flesh is not going to want you to do this. It's going to fight you. And, of course, the enemy doesn't want you to do it. But if you will, I mean, I had to humble myself and be obedient. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. But I do struggle with it. And but it does work if you can force yourself to do that. You don't have to feel like I'm being a hypocrite because I don't really want to do this. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. Just do it. You know, like Nike, just do it. So 1 Peter 2:21 and 23 says, for to this you were called. Here we go. You were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And so I believe that when we bless, or when I bless, I'm not pointing my fingers at you. Just know I'm talking about myself. If you're already living this teaching, praise God. You know, keep up the good work. But there are those like me that need to be reminded of these things. So, yes. And so I'm so thankful. Like I said, God is so patient. Where was I going here with this? Committed himself to him who judges righteously. I know. Okay. So I was going to say that I believe when I bless, I'm putting the ball in God's court. So then he can do what needs to be done. You know, I'm not hampering him by what I'm saying. Because our words are so powerful. We hear this all the time, but do we really realize how powerful our words are? You know, life and death. That's what you got in your mouth. And so I want to say, too, that blessing is a powerful weapon. You know, I'm not a military strategist, but in a battle, ideally, Norman, you would know about this, Ideally, you want to be placed on higher ground when you're in a battle, so that the enemy is trying to fight up and you're fighting down. So you have the higher ground, so that's better for you and easier for you. And you've heard the expression, take the high road. Well, this is it. This is higher ground for us. Our weapon is, we can use this as a weapon. This is great spiritual warfare. This brings heaven to earth. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. We are speaking spirits. We're expected to speak the language of heaven. Well, and I wanted to say, you know, the enemy knows our buttons. He knows my buttons, and he loves to push them. But again, I just have to humble myself and say, okay, Lord, I'll do what your word says, even though I don't feel like I always want to. And if you start blessing and you see, if you don't see immediate return on your blessing, because I should go back on this, 1 Peter 3:8-9, where we talked about you're called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. I want to inherit a blessing. So I don't have to feel like I want to do it to inherit it. But it's like planting grass seed, you know, you got your sprinkler going back and forth, you know, planting the grass seed, and pretty soon keep watering, and then pretty soon it'll come up at the right time. So that's what happens with blessing. When we speak blessing, if you don't see immediate results, don't be discouraged, you know, just keep blessing until the appointed time, and then it's going to come up. So I'm going to ask you in just a moment, on the other side of the scripture references I gave you, I put an example of blessings, and then a prayer for help to be a blesser. So I don't know if you want to read the prayer or not. I'll let you look it over and decide for yourself. But will you join me? Will you bless with me? Will you bless your family? Will you bless that difficult family member? Will you bless your neighbors with a big black dog? Oh, I wanted to tell you about that too. Did I tell you the black dog they put? I noticed the dog didn't bark anymore, and I thought, what happened? Well, they built a kennel in the backyard, and they keep the dog in the kennel, so it never barked after that. Yeah. So, but, another way to bless is when you're driving down the road and some guy pulls in front of you. Instead of calling him an idiot or whatever, to say, I speak God's blessing on you. May you get to your destination safely and get home to be with your family in peace. Another struggle I have is blessing political representatives. So, but this is a way for me to do it. Speak blessing over our president, and we can speak blessing constantly over our loved ones, neighbors. I think we need, you know, we're talking about getting a new building. I think we need to bless the landlords that own this building. I don't know why, I just felt like I needed to do that, that's going to help us to get our new building. But, and calling those things that be not as though they are, I also want to share that I felt the Holy Spirit told me today that when I see Pastor Dave, I'm going to say, Pastor Dave, you've gained weight. So, you look good. You've gained weight. Your cheeks are rosy. So I'm not really sure how to end this, but thank you for your kindness today, your attention. Like I say, this really works. If you will give it a try, taste and see that the Lord is good. So thank you. Yeah. Okay, we're going to pray for help to be a blesser. Father, I really want to bless and be a person of blessing. I want to walk in the power of your Spirit. I know the price for that, and it is not too difficult, nor is it far away. It is right in my mouth. Cause me, Lord, to become a blesser in the city, even as you said that you blessed Abraham so that he could become a blessing to all the families of the earth. Father, I ask that you would touch my lips, as Isaiah said, with coals from off the altar, that I may become a mouthpiece and speak as a person called and sent from God to bless. Deliver me from evil and deliver me from cursing for your name's sake, so that I might enter into the inheritance that you have already given. Amen. Let it be so.